Hello and welcome to another edition of the Retro Lovely Podcast. Today we are speaking with Heather Marie, the most recent special model edition model that we featured in that series. Heather is in Las Vegas and we're very excited that she's taking this time to talk to us. And Heather, hello. How are you today?
Amazing. How are you?
Good. How? Yeah, I'm just curious because it's starting to get cold here. How's the weather out there?
It's amazing, but supposedly next week we're going to be in the 60s getting into winter now here.
Oh, okay. So, see, I'm looking at like 40-something here, so don't hate on your 60-degree days.
Well, honestly, when it gets closer to like December or January, we can like get into like the 20 degrees, and sometimes it even snows here.
Nice. Not nearly as much as here, though, so I'm still going to hold that against you.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's all right. So, you know, I don't have the stats. Like, sometimes I'll try and, like, go back and get, like, some historical dates as far as when somebody I'm talking to was first in Retro Lovely. Do you know how long ago it was that you had your first feature with us? Do you remember?
Yes, I actually have it right here.
Oh, excellent.
It was the Holiday Edition 2021 Volume 14.
Okay. So we're going like 2 years now with your history with us.
And not too long, I know.
And as we put the special edition together, not counting the special edition, you had, was it 10 covers with us so far?
Yes, 10.
Yeah, because I remember I was like trying to like fit it onto that that autograph page like in a clever way that it looked balanced, and I'm thinking like, okay, yes, let's do this. And so 10 is a heck of a run.
I know. I'm amazed by that.
Well, you know, the thing of it is, you work with great photographers. The bottom line is,
yes,
you have invested significantly in your art, and you've worked with some of the best people there are, period.
Yes.
And, you know, one thing that I really wish I could convey to a lot of people, I get a lot of submissions. I probably look at more pinup photos than any person in the world ever. And there's a lot of people that are doing fun work, but they're not doing highly curated work. Okay. There's models that they're working with, perfectly fine photographers, but they think it's okay to get a $20 costume from Amazon and use it in a photo shoot or run a comb through their hair and call it a day. Okay. And there's a big difference between that and like 99% of the work I've seen of yours. You've got world-class stylists doing your hair and makeup.
Yes.
Now, I don't want to offend you, because I'm trying to remember, because I think 99% of the time when I look at your credits, it's somebody else has done your work. You don't ever self-style, is that correct?
No.
Or has there been?
Never.
Okay. Because sometimes, like, you know, some people could get offended by that, but it's like,
yeah,
you know, there's definitely a difference. In fact, I actually just had an email before we got on the phone from Chrissy in Dollhouse, and you know, we're talking about some different things, and she's one of the few studios that I actually speak to more regularly, who isn't a partner. And you know, we're talking about some things, and you know, she has some ideas that she wants to entertain, talk to me about. And I just happened to mention, I said, oh my God, you know, just, I'm going to reply quick because there's a lot to address, but I'm about to speak with Heather Marie. And I said, I'll bet any kind of money that you come up, because she always comes up, and your special edition is probably 60% her work, or
yes,
50, 60. And of course she has stylists that are like to die for.
Yes.
And it shows, and it's just, it's a huge thing. And again, for the handful of people that will listen to this, if you're a model and you're working with a photographer and you're self-styling, really consider finding somebody to polish up that part of your photography, because there are some titles that we have that the styling kills it, as far as like if somebody submits to, you know, Godiva or Retro Lovely, if the styling isn't there, it's not going to go in that thing. If it's a nasty wig that should be put out of its misery, it's not going to go in there. Okay. Mm-hmm. I've got a vendetta on feral. I call them feral wigs, you know, because you just, it's a quick thing. There's no styling involved. They just throw on a wig and call it a day and they're happy with it. But there's a difference between fun pinup photography and highly execute it, pinup photography. So you've worked with a lot of people that they care about and it shows. Okay, so we got that out of the way. 2021 holiday.
Yes.
And 10 covers. And it's not just 10 covers. You've been in probably three times as many issues. I mean, you're very prolific. You have the opportunity to do this a lot. Now, that said, what got you started with this? What sent you down this road to pursue this as much as you've pursued it?
So, like, I had my first photo shoot with Dollhouse in 2019. And, like, before that, like, there's, like, no pictures of me.
Oh, really?
Like, I honestly thought, like, I was, like, not photogenic. Like, I was awkward in front of the camera. Like, I was just, like, I didn't think I was, like, pretty enough to, like, take pictures. And I was, like, you know what? Whatever. I'm just going to go and do it. And then I got my photos back like a month or two later. And I was like, oh my God, these look really good. Like, I'm so hard on myself for what reason?
Right, yes.
And I was like, and I was like, I'm like, okay, Heather Marie. Like, okay, I see you.
So after Dollhouse, who is your next photo shoot? Do you remember who was next after them?
I'm trying to think. I feel like I've worked so much with Dollhouse through like, you know, those couple of years. And then I think the one photographer that, you know, Amanda from Feather Flash.
Oh, okay, great. Yes.
Yes.
So set. I remember that Valentine set.
Yes. So I did that with her last Valentine's Day, yeah. And then we've had, like, I think, like, three other shoots, and I'm just waiting for the pictures on those.
Great. I think I saw, there's that one, the Halloween in April. I think that was Chris Gomez, right?
Yes, yeah. That was Chris.
He's been doing some really amazing stuff too lately.
Yeah, so when he comes to Vegas, we usually do something together. We did like our Barbie photo shoot was amazing. And then we even did like some like totally pinup at like one of his friends' pinup houses. And I think that was in Retro Lovely too.
Okay, cool.
He submitted.
Cool. Was that Barbie set? Was that actually a location or was a lot of that like green screen digital stuff? I had a hard time telling.
So we started at my place by my pool for 2 hours, and it was so hot that day. It was like 111 degrees that day. And so I did that for a couple hours, and then we went over to a studio.
Okay.
And we did some studio shots.
Got it. Yeah, that was good stuff. I liked there were some tie-ins like with the set pieces. Like I think on the headboard of the bed, there's like the letter
yes.
B, which I caught. You know, there's a lot of times I'll see some things that I wonder if people realize that I catch what they did. There's some really clever things that I'm sure, you know, the audience at large misses. And then there's things that people miss themselves that I catch. And it's just like, there's like a reflection. There's a reflection in the mirror of some person standing there with like a Starbucks cup. How did you not see this? Right. Like
oh my God.
I just think really, really. But I've been guilty of that myself too. Sometimes when you're too close to something, you don't see those little detail things because you're focused on this, that, or the other thing. So I kind of get that. All right. So you've been making your rounds with some photographers, and of course, you know, you've got Chrissy and Dollhouse on retainer. So at what point? Because I'm trying to think now. We have a calendar with you this year. Did we do one last year too? I'm losing track.
Yes, we did.
I apologize. Okay. And I know you had really knocked that out of the ballpark. I think.
I really did. I was like, somebody bought 10 and like gave them like to their family for Christmas. Like, honestly, like my supporters, like they go hard.
That's awesome. Now I got to ask the question. Okay. Cause I'm really trying to think like, I'm drawing a blank. Cause I mean, I look at our sales statistics and like every day I monitor it. Cause sometimes I just kind of feel like, I don't know if I trust these guys as far as what they're telling us they're selling. Right. And I monitor this every day. And every once in a while, I'll look at a day's sales and I'll see a particular title sell multiple copies, 4, 5, 10, sometimes 20. And I go, what's that about? Right. And in the past, the very first model that I talked to about a special model edition, I just happened to notice this trend where she'd be in an issue. And then like a week later, I'd see 10 sales. And I'd notice the printer doesn't tell us who buys them. They don't divulge the name, but they'll tell you the city. And I'm looking at the city and I saw it again and I saw it again. Like, I don't always get the time to just go and check and dig up a record and look at and say, well, this model was from here. But I noticed the same model, 10 copies, the same model, 10 copies, same town, same town, same town. And I finally, like, it got to the point where I'm like, I got to talk to them. I got to see what they're doing. Right. And I noticed, I found in some of the submission records that the city matched where they were being sold. So I fired it off an email. I'm like, hey, you live in this town and we noticed that, you know, somebody's buying a bunch of your issues. Is that you? And she replies back, yes. And then I start to chat to see what she was doing. Because obviously she's not just buying 10 for herself. And I kind of felt like giving them to family and friends is probably getting tired. You know, there's only so much that you're going to do that. And of course, what we learned was that she was buying them and selling them. And she was making some money on them. And we've tried to foster that forever. In the old days, when people used to buy magazines, we used to be able to give everybody copies. And cover models used to get like a carton. Everybody could buy them at wholesale. And back then, when you're printing 5,000, a copy was like $3, right? So there were people that made money. And of course, that changes because now nobody buys magazines like they used to. They look at the stuff on their smartphones or online. And so she's doing the work. And that led me to talk to her about this special model edition where, you know, because she had been a supporter of us, I want to have this vehicle where we could say, you know, you've done the work, you've done some heavy lifting, and you're doing those things that so few people take the initiative to do. Let's do this, and I'll give you the files, and please sell as many as you can, keep every penny. I would like a situation where you could make back the money that you spent with us at least, and hopefully offset some of your costs for your shoots and your costumes and everything else. And you know, so we got the ball rolling, and I don't even know how many we've done so far, but yours was a similar situation where I can't recall if I noticed any of your issues. Like, did you ever buy multiple copies of your issues for resale, or was it just really, did you really just get zeroed in on this with the calendar?
I think it was just the calendar because I bought a bunch of them last year.
Got it. And the number was like eye-opening. I mean, because every periodically after, you know, the calendars gather for the season, I'll go back because they are categorized. I can at least see them all in one place. And I started like reviewing who did what. And the sad thing is sometimes models will do those calendars and I'll see like one of them get printed or two. And I just think they didn't do any promotion. They didn't ask their fans for sales. And when I got through yours last year, it was like, it was an eye-opening amount. And then of course, as we, you know, progress through all the different issues that you've been in, you know, you pick up copies of a lot of them, and it just got to the point where I had to say, like, you know, thank you. And we crossed that bridge where I said, let's do a special edition. So now we just got it put together. We just got you the files. You've got them uploaded.
Yes.
I think we promoted them online. We're going to have this in a couple of days. Now it's the point where hopefully what happens is between this year's calendar and this and your fans who support you, you know, we can further that ball down the road and have an even bigger success story to talk about. Now, what I want to ask is, you said about your fans supporting you. So
yes.
For that volume of the calendar that you did last year, what sorts of things did you do as far as promotions that seemed to work? Like, it could be that you simply just offered them on your social media platforms and people just came and bought them all. Were there any other things that you did to like entice that trend? Did you try and like pump them up to get them motivated? Because I know when we present the materials to the models, we have suggestions as far as what to do. Were there any things that you did that surprised you as far as being productive?
Yes. So I cocktail at a casino here in Vegas, and like I feel like I sold so many like in person, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like for me, like I'm blessed where I'm super tall. Like I'm 5'11".
Nice.
So like the number one question I always get asked, oh my God, you're so tall. Are you a model? And I go, well, actually I am. And
yes.
Actually I
yes.
have magazine covers. Actually, yes. I have my calendar out right now. Just in the, oh my God, you need my calendar. Oh my God, my calendar is amazing. Look at all these amazing pictures. I took this one here, that one there. And they get like really excited. And like, what's cool too, is I say, okay, it's this amount. and like they'll actually like give me more money, like too.
That's
Like they'll just be like,
excellent.
keep the change, you
That's
know, like
excellent. Excellent. Yes.
save it for your next shoot, save it for next year. Oh my God, you're so amazing. So yes, I'm very lucky in
Well, and
that way.
then so here's the thing that's kind of cool now. Okay, so you did that. Bravo. You nailed it.
Yes.
Do you have anything else that you offer them? Do you have other merchandise?
Yes. So with this year, with Dollhouse, we took like a picture like on a playing card. Like it's like maybe 8 by 11.
Right,
So I
right.
offered that with it too. And then a guitar pick with
Ah.
like a little like with a sexier picture on it and like my autograph on the back and then a sticker
Dude.
too. So yes.
Dude, I got do you have guitar picks for sale still?
Oh yeah, I have a ton. I can send you some if you
Ah, I'm
want.
a guitar player. I need these.
Okay, yeah, so
I
you need the Heather
need.
Marie guitar pick.
Yes,
They're
I
amazing.
need these. Oh my God. I'll buy a bunch because I got guitar buddies. I'm in a band. I need a bunch of those.
Oh my God, so amazing.
That's
Thank
killer.
you.
That's killer. So the thing of it is, and this is something that I've said to models in the past, and only so many take heed. What you just said right there, when you have these people and you tell them the calendar's like $30, whatever, and
Yeah.
they give you more, right?
Yes.
If you only have one thing for sale, right? You don't know how much more these people would have supported you, right? If you
Yes.
only have that one thing and they pay for it cheerfully and they even tip you a little bit, great. But what if you would have had, say, cocktail tumblers with your stuff on it, or socks with your stuff on it, or a special edition magazine with your stuff on it, stickers. There's so many things that. And I'm not saying to go and get like thousands of different things, produced, but have some extra stuff so that you can
Yes.
fully explore how much somebody's willing to support you. Like if you limit yourself with what you have available, you'll never know what could have been, right? You need options for them. You need to keep them engaged. The thing that you really have this great benefit is the in-person aspect. The fact
Yes.
that you're running into these people in a situation where you're already chatting with them. I'm going to bet money based on how you sound and what you've done that you're a very presentable person, and as a server, you probably engage them in a way that they feel good about, they feel good about you.
Yeah.
So you already have like a big hurdle conquered right there. You've already got them into a positive frame of mind. And then you take it further. So this is all good stuff. So definitely think about like adding to your wares of what you have available for them. Now, so obviously you've done a bunch of sales in that environment. Where else have you
Yes.
had sales? How many people see your stuff on social media and contact you via mail to make a purchase? Is that like the next thing on the chain, or is there something else that you do? Like, by any chance, do you go to like car shows, or do you do any events where you might be able to actually?
No,
Okay.
I don't do any of that. The second would definitely be online,
Online, okay.
for sure,
Got it.
through email and like direct message.
Oh, really? Okay. And something that I had noticed in the past, and I know I've talked about it, I don't know if it's anything that you've picked up on, but in fact, I think in some of the materials that I send out, I reference that book Influence. It's a great book as far as like some doctor back in the 90s. They did a lot of case studies as far as like what motivates people. I mean, not just him. I mean, this is a whole science. But he put this book together about a lot of different things that he experienced and a lot of different studies that were done on what motivates people. And sometimes it's what motivates them in a bad way, and how to like kind of like counter that. But then also what motivates them in a positive way for you to get your message across, or to help them make a decision to buy something that you're selling. And there have been a lot of things where, like say for instance, so you get this new model edition, maybe get a copy, right? And then do like an unboxing video and then post it. When people see it live in the flesh, not even like for themselves, but they see that it really exists, and you're flipping through the pages, and maybe you're talking about some of the images. They get to hear your voice in a video, and you get that thing on, you post it. Some people are going to actually start to feel more connected to it. They're going to start to feel more vested in it. And something that you could do that I know has been very successful for some others is people like to be acknowledged, right? So if you get some orders and you're signing them, maybe ask some of those customers, hey, is it okay if I shoot a video of me signing your copy and posting it, right? Mm-hmm. As soon as that stuff hits online, there's a lot of other people that they see activity, they see this happening, they see somebody else getting a personalized copy from you, they see that you're taking care with it and you're paying attention to them, they want in on that too. There's a lot of people that have like this Me Too philosophy. They want what somebody else has. So anything you can do to show that there's that activity, like people are buying them, ask them to send you a selfie where they're holding it, post that. Do things where you can engage them. People really want to be part of something that's sort of like a thing, you know, happening, something that's taken off. So there's some definitely ideas there. Now, as far as other, is there anything else that you've been able to do with sales of the calendars that doesn't include, you know, online, doesn't include events, doesn't include, at your work? Is there anything else that surprised you?
I think like another thing, like when doing the calendars that surprised me is like the people that like want like personalization. They want like extra kisses, or they want me to write them a birthday message. Mm-hmm. I was like surprised by that. Like, I thought that was so cute, like so sweet. Cause like, you know, like at the end of the day, like I'm just a normal girl here in Vegas working at a casino. So like, I don't know, that kind of like warmed my heart. Like that warms my heart a little bit, you know?
I'll tell you what, that's a very powerful thing though, because I think that's why like during the pandemic, so many people got involved with like that OnlyFans thing and knocked it out of the park. And it's because a lot of them did very like, this is me. This is me taking a selfie. This is me talking to you. This is me sending you a Polaroid. You know, that stuff is massively, people want to be special. I mean, the reality of it is when they're buying that calendar from you and they're asking for it personalized, really the focus then becomes them. Okay. They like that connection. And I just said something right there that, I would suggest that you consider, this will take it like one step further, right? So they want something from you that's personalized. You're speaking to them. It's for them. I've experienced a lot of models who have gotten these, Fuji makes them. They're called Instax. And what they are is, in fact, you may have seen them from like young people. For some reason, young people have gotten into these things where it's basically an instant camera. You know, you put the film
in. Oh, like a Polaroid?
Yeah. It's just like a Polaroid, but it's a lot cheaper because, Fuji started making them some time ago, and they're like these little tiny, almost like business card sized, instants. And if you also offer those for sale, right, I'll bet money you do really well with them, because here's the thing about them, right? If somebody has your calendar, great. There's others. There's hundreds of them, right? If somebody has a personalized calendar, fine. Yeah, it's personalized to them, so it's unique. The thing with an instant print is that print is one of a kind, right? And if they can have something of yours that nobody else has, in any way, shape, or form, that's very powerful. So let's say when you offer your calendars and your special edition for sale, you do a package, you offer it for a certain amount of money. Maybe there's some other things that you throw in, maybe as an incentive. You know, think about one of these cameras, because I think they're only like, I mean, some of them are like $40, $50. They're affordable. Mm-hmm. And the prints aren't expensive either. Think about possibly doing some instant prints as part of a package, as a premium. I will bet you money that it helps you sell some bigger packages and that people go crazy for it. Cause I've seen it many times. So I'll send you a link to what they are to make sure you have that. But
please do, because I feel like people just like my supporters just love the personalization aspect of it.
If you can offer them one of a kind, nobody else has this sorts of things, I think they'll go crazy. Well, I'll put it to you this way. I had a couple from Texas came to Pennsylvania a couple of years ago, and we did a photo shoot up in the Poconos where they have these. You ever see those like 7 foot tall champagne glasses? They're like a tub, but they're like a, they look like a champagne glass. And I took with me my Instax camera, and you know, we're doing the shoot and everything else. And I said to her, I'm like, can I take a couple of these? And she's like, sure. And I said, and you can have them. And so we're doing the shoot, and I took a few. Her husband went crazy for them. Like the look on his face, right? Like he got it, and he was an exact case study of the power these things have on somebody. Now, granted, you know, he's her biggest fan, but he's got pictures of her all over the place. He's probably sick of the photos that they have in the photo shoots, but this was something different. This was unique.
It was one of a kind.
One of a kind, right. So definitely something to check out. I'll make sure you get a link for that.
Please.
Let's shift from talking about so much marketing, even though this has been great and it's important, and I hope people that listen to it will take note. Let's talk more about the photography, the photo shoots, and what are your plans? Where are you headed with everything? Everything you've shot so far, has it? Well, no. So when you worked with Amanda and Feathered Flash, was that when she was in Vegas, or did you travel to LA?
So one was in Vegas, and then I traveled to California for, I think I've had like two or three with her in California.
Okay, great, good.
So it's like a 4-hour drive.
So is there any more of that in your future? Do you plan on like branching out? Okay. Are there parts of the country or, well, I don't even want to like ask you what photographers, because I don't want to spoil it. On average, how much do you shoot? Because it seems like it's a lot.
I know.
Every other day.
Last year it was a lot, especially like during Viva Las Vegas. Okay. Like I have like 5 shoots like in like a week.
Right.
It was a lot. So especially that time of year. But I would average maybe like once a month, maybe.
Got it. That makes sense. I mean, just from the volume that I've seen from you the past years, that seems about right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from the styles of shoots that you've done, What makes you motivated as far as like dollhouse aside, because they're a giant machine and a monster, right? But when it comes to other studios, do you find that you just want to work with somebody because of their particular photographic style, or is it a type of shoot that they're offering that you want to take part of? Like say the Valentine's thing, that was a very specific set that she had access to. What sorts of things do you gravitate towards? Are there certain things that you want to try and explore that you haven't done yet?
I honestly just like want to kind of like try everything. And honestly, thinking about it, like that's why I like working with Chris, is because I feel like it's a little bit different than what I would normally do, I would normally want to do. Mm-hmm. Like we did like a Star Wars like cosplay photo shoot here in Vegas.
Right.
And that's like not something I would normally do, but I just like, I want it to be a little bit different.
Got it. Now, when it comes to, another thing I can say is like, well, I know with Dollhouse, they come equipped with a lot of their own wardrobe, right? Am I correct?
They do, but I use my own.
Okay. That's where I was going. Cause you have, that said, you have a pretty extensive collection already.
I think I have over like 60 sets of lingerie and probably like 50 sets of stockings. Like I have so much.
You know what's funny? I could say the same thing for me, but that was because I had a studio. not that I ever wear it. And I'll tell you, it's interesting because as having run that studio like that, it was a big draw. Having a lot of stuff available for people was a big draw because not everybody can A, afford the photo shoots, but B, then all the stuff that goes with it, you know, the wardrobe and everything else. And this is why the calendars and the special editions are important to us, because when it comes right down to it, at the end of the day, we know you guys are doing the heavy lifting as far as funding all this. You guys are footing the bill to make this stuff happen. And there's so many people that, you know, enjoy it and appreciate it and consume it, but there's very little reward for the people that are making it happen. So these things are exciting for me that at least it's something to try and like to acknowledge it first off, and then be hopefully offset some of it, you know, get you something back. So I'm glad we've been able to at least do, cause like for the number of your calendars that you sold last year, even at a healthy markup, I don't think maybe your profit covered one of your photo shoots. Maybe.
No, like, honestly, no. But like, I basically just like do it for my supporters and stuff. Like, I don't know, like it's just like they're so sweet, and I don't know, I really just like do it for them, to be honest.
Well, the bottom line too is it's a feel good experience for you as well. You get
It really
that
is.
emotional benefit of like when I was talking on the last podcast, I said to Vanity Stardust, I said to her, like in my studio, when I used to work with some of these models, some of these regular women, and they would do these shoots, and they would have that feel good experience and that transformation, they'd go from self doubt to being empowered. I said I often would joke around that I think health insurance should subsidize some of this stuff because it does so much for a person's morale that I think it's keeping them off Prozac. I think it's going to keep them off antidepressants because it's every bit as powerful as some of that stuff and it's safe. Like, so why doesn't healthcare foot, pay for some of this stuff? But
And
no.
like for me, like it's like a, like it's almost like self-care in a way too, like just like to be creative and to plan something. And I don't think people like realize how hard it is modeling. Like it's hard on your body. Like
Oh
I'm
yeah.
sore for like a week or two after, especially with Dollhouse. Like they like Chrissy like pushes me so hard sometimes. Like
Cracking the whip.
I, like I, yes, I need like a massage after.
Well, in our studio, we used to say if it doesn't hurt, it doesn't look good, right? Like
Yeah.
literally, if it's a little painful, it's probably looking fabulous. And the next day you're gonna feel, and like honestly, sometimes we would have a like weekends, like if we did a theme and we had, let's say, a dozen clients over 3 days, right? I would be wrecked myself too because I'm not doing as much as a model is, but I'm still like, there's still a lot going on that it's physical as well. I mean, sometimes I'll show somebody a pose, like, oh, what do you mean? I'll just show them like, well, like this, and I know what you mean. Like at the end of it all, it was like getting hit by a truck.
It is, yes.
Yeah, there were days I was, well, there were sometimes too, I'd like, where did I get this bruise? Why am I bruised? What did I do? Oh yeah, that's when that I banged into the table. Oh, okay, yeah, exactly. Now, let's see. So you have done some shoots with some male models. Have you ever done any with other female models?
No, not yet.
Okay. And is that something that you would like consider or you think it might be awkward?
I feel like for me it might be awkward, especially 'cause like I am like I'm 5'11, like I'm like I have like it, especially in heels too,
I
like
was just gonna
in all
say,
these shoes I have heels.
how
I'm
tall are you in
six like
heels?
I'm like 6'5, 6'6, like
Jesus.
I'm super tall.
That's awesome.
So I feel like I would need somebody similar to my dimensions,
So
and I
that
feel like most of the
it fit right,
Yes, and I feel like most of the like the models I know here, like they're petite, they're small. Like
You like
I don't,
tower
so I
over
don't
them,
know. So for me it's like easier shooting with like a man, who's bigger, who's taller.
Right. Yeah. I get that. I get that. And that's why I asked about if it was awkward because like I know, okay, so from a creative standpoint, I'm into music. I write songs. Like a recording artist, okay? But I'm terrible on stage performing. I'm not a performer. And there's times where like other musicians like they'll say like, "Well, let's jam. Let's get together and jam." And I'm just like I'm reluctant because I'm not that good. Like I can sit and record stuff and write stuff, but real time playing with people, it's a bit embarrassing because I'm just not that kind of a I'm not that kind of a musician. So I can imagine that being the same way for like models working with other people that sometimes the dynamic can be intimidating. And I've had situations where I've actually had some models who worked with me and then told me afterwards, when I first came to this, I was very intimidated by you. And I'm like, why? Because I'm just like a regular person. Like, well, we like your work. Like they would talk about the work and think, oh, I'm not gonna be able to be good enough for this. And I'd say, oh my God, that's the furthest from the truth. I mean, we all have something to offer. It's a matter of finding it and presenting it in a way that others can appreciate it. So
And for me, I feel like I'm getting better with that too, 'cause like I have started to do more location shoots where there's people around watching,
Oh, well, okay. Yep.
which is a totally different element.
Big
And I
time.
did with Dollhouse, we did a photo shoot at the car show, the Viva Las Vegas car show. There was so many
Lots of
people, just like,
people.
you
Yeah.
know what I mean?
Yes.
So I feel like that too makes you like a better model.
Well, that's gonna toughen you up to be more bulletproof,
Yes.
to not really care,
Yes.
to just do and not be not overthink it. That's a big one, not overthinking it. Getting out of your head and not worrying about things. I
I know,
mean,
because I have a huge problem with that too. Like, what's everybody thinking? And they're like taking pictures, and I'm like, oh my God, what kind of pictures are you taking? Like, what angle? You know what I mean?
Yep. I mean, well, there is that, but the bottom line is they wouldn't be taking them if it was ridiculous. Then again, you do see those photos of people at Walmart where they're
Yes.
mean, where they're mean photos. So all
Yes.
right, so be careful. So be careful.
I know.
Well, awesome. You know what? I'm gonna look at the clock. Okay, we've been at this for about 40 minutes.
Oh my God.
I always have to be careful because they can tend to run really, really long. And
Yeah.
a bad thing is if they run really, really long, people just lose interest and bail.
Yes.
So with that said, I've gotten like some major things that I would normally ask somebody out of the way. A lot of good information as far as like what you've been doing for your success and how you got into this and how the experience has been. Are there any other topics? Are there any other things that you would like to discuss or get out there? Is there anything you'd like to say on your behalf?
I think we like covered everything basically. I feel like I got the most important things out there,
I do as
you
well. I do
know.
as well. And all I have to say is, for your short time doing this, you have been very successful at it. And I can say right now, after, well, even our dealings, like from the occasional email that we've had, because as a rule, I try not to email people. I try not to have a reason to email people. I try to like situate things with the publications where they don't have a need to email me because there's just only so much time. And if somebody engages you in a conversation, it can really spiral out of control as far as how much time they can require of you. Like, I really, this is something that like really is depressing. There are times where I see submissions from models, and I see great work, and I see something, and I've seen them before. They've been in issues. I know they support us. And I see a set and it's terrific. And I think, can I use this for a cover? Can I use something from this as a cover? And it doesn't work because of typically formatting reasons, because the way the photographers will compose an image and crop it just falls apart when I try and cram it into the size and shape of what the magazine is. All right. It looks great on your phone because your phone is pretty tall and narrow compared to like a magazine page, which is closer to square if you really, really think about it. And in those instances where I've emailed somebody to say, love these shots, by any chance, do you have them cropped differently, cropped less tight? And in the old days, I would actually say, because I think I could use it as a cover, but it's not right. And then you get the email back. Well, let me talk to the photographer, and then they send you photos that are like edited badly, right?
Oh,
Like
no.
photoshopped to try and make it
Yeah.
work, or and you basically end up with like, and then you say, well, that's not going to work, and it's like, well, I have these other photos. Can I send these other photos? Like once they know you're interested, and they have you on the hook as far as they've got your ear, then it becomes this like back and forth thing that can morph into hours of your week that you lose. So I've unfortunately had to get to a point where I try and do it all in such a way that there's no reason for people to email me, that there's no reason for me to email them back. Because with 6,000 submissions a year, that stuff just isn't possible. Like it's counterproductive. So again, let me back up. When I said for the handful of emails that we've had, you've never done that. You've never imposed. You've always been very courteous. You haven't like asked for anything more. Very professional. That's the kind of stuff that goes a long way as far as when you do have the opportunity to speak to somebody that they appreciate. And I know this because I talk to other publishers. I talk to other people in different industries where there's talent that wants something, on their behalf, and it can be overwhelming. It can be like actually the other day I was on a web page for a bookstore in a town near me, because years ago I had a graphic novel, comic book, and it was set in this town. And I still have cartons of the thing. I mean, we sold like 3,000-4,000 copies of it worldwide, but I still have probably 600 of them laying around. And I'm tired of them laying around. And I think it's time to just send them off to the landfill. And I thought, you know what? There's a new bookstore in this town. I'm gonna reach out to them to see if I can just give them to them. Like, here, take them. If you can sell them, keep the money. Keep them out of the landfill. I went to their website to see about their contact information. And what blew my mind was on the contact page, just below the point where they had the email, there was a statement. Dear authors, we appreciate your interest in having your books presented in our shop, but at this time, we do not have the space to display them. We don't have the time to review them. We appreciate your interest, but we just can't. We're not able to reply to inquiries about us carrying your manuscript. And in an instant, I knew exactly what they experienced because I experienced it too. And, you know, it's a big thing. So, you know, you've been great about that. You've been really good about not overextending your welcome. And honestly, you know, it's at the point now where like I owe you some time because you've done some great work. So.
And to be honest, like, I'm just like happy to be here. Like, I'm just happy we're talking, like, you know who I am. Like, that's just like so cool to me.
Well, I'm not alone. You've got your fans. They're supporting you.
Yes.
And hopefully in the coming years, we can do even more.
I hope so too. So, like every year I just want to like sell more and more and more.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, who knows? There might be some other opportunities that we conjure up. Like I'm always trying to find something to do to add to the story because it is important to me that, well, you know, there's thousands of magazines, and of those thousands of magazines, other than maybe like them having like a different sort of a theme or thing that they do, they're all pretty much the same thing. And I'm constantly looking for things that I can say, this is why we're different. This is why we get so many submissions. This is why we do these things to help models make some money, even though it's a handful. I mean, if you say, yeah, we have 6,000 submissions a year and we do what, maybe six model editions and maybe 24 calendars for people. That's only like 40 people that we're able to help make some money. That's nothing compared to the 6,000.
But I feel like too, like you as a model, like for me, like I'm always having to sell myself. Like, you know, like you have to like put in work if you want to like, you know, see the sales and see the people coming back and them sending their family. Like, you know what I mean? Like their friends, their boys, like you have to like put it. It's a lot of work.
And you know what? A lot of it also is simply being repetitive. I've often made this statement where I'll say to somebody, I got to do some work. I got to ask for business. And what I mean by that is I ask for business by making posts, by making people aware of something that's new or creating our newsletter. I can't tell you, I surely time it, but they used to be weekly. Now I'm trying to do them like every other week because they just take so much time to compile those newsletters that we send out, where we announce like all the new issues and it shows the covers, it shows the table of contents, it links to them. They take like half a day to put together. And it's just one of those things where I have to do it though, because it's reminding people we're here. It's reminding people we exist and it's asking for the sale. And there's, you know, as a model, you especially, there's nothing shameful about asking for the sale. There's nothing, I mean, I'd even go so far as to say, like when you present, you know, some of these things that you offer, nothing shameful to say, look, I do this because I really invest so much time and money in this that I'll never recover. This is one of the small things I can do to at least get something to help with that. And I think people can relate to that honesty, and they can relate to well, because I think, you know, seriously, I still think there's probably a huge swath of the population that would see a model, especially somebody putting out work like yours. And they probably have this conception like, oh, she's getting paid to model, right? I'll bet you so many, like if you did a survey and asked your audience, how many of you think I get paid to model? You'd be depressed at how many think that you get money for this.
When, yeah, 100%.
When the opposite is true. And that's one of the things with this where, you know, I'm gonna scream from the treetops. That's not the case. You know, you people really got to step up. So, Well, listen, dude, this has been awesome. I've appreciated your time, and it's been great chatting.
Yes.
And hopefully in the future we get to do it again sometime.
I hope so too. And thank you so much for having me. This was amazing.
Awesome. Awesome. Listen, enjoy your weather out there, and I should say goodbye.
It's okay.
Because I have more to say after the fact. Let me redo that. Okay. Well, listen, thank you so much, Heather. I hope you have a great day, and we'll talk very soon.
Awesome. Thank you, Michael.